Good evening and welcome to Clear Mind on this Tuesday evening. My name is Jeannie O'Malley, your host. We have a great show lineup for this evening. We're going to talk about a fabulous topic that I always love to discuss at the Institute. It's really the core of our whole existence on the planet, which is about how we perceive emotion. Are we perceiving our emotions through wisdom, which allows us to be able to support growth and understanding versus irrational conclusion and conflict? To be able to kind of achieve this conversation this evening, I have a great lineup of guests for us, which is Kate Topliff, an essential oil practitioner from Sag Harbor in New York City. Cyrilla Gallagher is coming back to talk to us from a Spiro lifestyle. And we have some great tracks from Vienna Teng lined up. I'm going to go into that first song. I believe all these three tracks are very relevant to this evening. They really tell a story that we're going to take together. The first song is Momentum. Thank you. Enjoy the music.
Baby,
Hi, and welcome back to the show. That song is such a beautiful song for the journey that we're going to take tonight as we delve into emotions. So many of us are conditioned from early childhood to have great fear of our emotions, great fear of expressing them. They're really the first thing that we're taught to control as we start to develop. And really, our emotions really plug us into so many incredible experiences within the mind that we can create within our lives. Within the Clear Mind system, we really look at perception and how we focus during the day and perceive reality as being filtered through seven key emotions. Those seven emotions are self-acceptance, forgiveness, silence, compassion, celebration, inner knowing, and gratitude. If we look at the mind as a vehicle for being able to express ourselves through these seven key emotions, then the mind doesn't, we don't have so much fear about where our emotions can take us. Will we become out of control, and will I be overcome by emotion, and why am I, you know, I need to suppress it so as not to take myself into an experience that I don't want to have. And so we kind of precondition ourselves to kind of over the years kind of shut down and suppress. So what we really like to encourage people to do is to start to go on a journey to understand that if they're perceiving their emotions through wisdom, what is the experience that they're going to have within their lives? What can they create if we take the fear out of it, if we understand that depression, anxiety, fear, control, rigidity, negativity come from an unconscious perception, so aspects of the brain that can't perceive love, then we understand that when our emotions connect to these types of interpretations, that we can go into a negative experience. But what if we didn't have any of the unconscious? What if we just had the wisdom, and wisdom worked through these seven emotions and worked through our perception, and we could perceive these, you know, the world through these emotional filters, but we were coming from a state of wisdom. Over the years of doing the Clear Mind system and building our community globally, what I've learned to realize is that people are very used to using these kind of darker aspects of their mind to be able to find lighter aspects of their mind. And what I've learned particularly over the last 2 years is that people feel such an acceleration upon the planet right now that using this kind of unconscious perception to gain a conscious awareness is really something that can take a lifetime, and who really has the time? Because as we go into this kind of new age and new opportunities and new potential and new ways that we can create and experience life, we really want life to be a celebration of consciousness, not spend an entire lifetime trying to create the idea of what we could be if we were in a state of wisdom, or what we could be if we were in the presence of love, and really creating a clarity and continuity with our experience that we were always kind of sitting in that space of stillness and wisdom. And, you know, even in those states, you're still having moments of sadness and joy, and because you're working, you're allowing the wisdom to work through the emotion. And so it's a fascinating path. It's a beautiful path to freedom. Tonight I am so happy to have Kate Topliff join me from, she's a phenomenal aromatherapy practitioner in Sag Harbor, New York City. Such a gracious, kind, humble, sweet woman that truly wears the passion for her work on her face and is such a joy to be around. She also practices the Clear Mind system, so she understands the needs within our community and what people are trying to achieve within our community. So I wanted to have her on as a guest this evening to talk about how she can help us harmonize our emotion and support those stronger perceptions of love through the different scents that she's using with people to create emotional balance within their lives. Just to give you a little bit of background about her, she has trained at the Center for Aromatherapy Research and Education. She has done the Vitaflex Raindrop Technique, Emotional Release, Healing Oils of the Bible, and Essential Oil Chemistry. She's a truly gifted healer, and I'm just so excited to have her on the show. Welcome, Kate.
Excited to be here.
How are you this evening?
I'm very well. How about you?
I'm doing great. I'm so excited to have you on the show. I wanted to talk with you primarily this evening about, you know, I know you do a lot of work with helping people with emotional releases and creating harmony through the use of aromatherapy oils. What I wanted to talk with you particularly tonight was about how a person can maintain their state of awareness. So rather than the release aspect, what can they, what oils and what kind of practices with the oils they can implement into their lives to be able to maintain their awareness to love?
Well, there are so many ways to use it, and I use the oils to maintain that awareness. And I really love to use it with the breath. I always put a spiritual oil on in the morning before I do my practice, and often I'll put it on the third eye chakra or in the crown. And the way that essential oils work, the way the sense of smell works, goes straight into the emotional brain, into the memory, and so when I'm doing the breath, it just really, really resonates in a very powerful way. I love to use sandalwood or frankincense or a blend. The Young Living has a lot of beautiful blends like Three Wise Men and Sacred Mountain. And so when I am really feeling beautiful, I've done my breath, and I'm feeling just so in tune with consciousness, with love, with self-love, those oils, the scents really stay with me and help me to really carry that with me throughout the day.
Which is such a powerful tool, because, you know, you can be at home and have this beautiful experience and leave that space, and then you go out into the negative mind, into the unconscious aspects of reality, and you have to, you know, you're practicing to stay very centered and very knowing of the presence of love as you're witnessing all of this kind of, contradictory kind of conversation that's whirling around you. So I understand what you're saying about having that reference, going back, having that scent to kind of reconnect, to take those three breaths, and it puts you back within that state that you were in earlier in the day.
That's right.
And it's very beautiful, Kay. I'm sure there's a lot of people in the audience right now scribbling down all those names. But people who want to get in contact with Kate for a consultation, she does beautiful consultations over the phone, can actually contact customer support at the Breath Institute, and we will graciously send them your way, Kate. But can we get a little bit into, various conditions? I know that I have a facilitator that does the program, and when she ever gets herself into a state where she really shifts in consciousness quite rapidly, she feels that her thyroid kind of slows down a little bit, and the thyroid, in a sense, is really the conversation about when is it my turn. And so it's really about when consciousness really takes off, spirit really takes off, and then there's that child mind that says, hey, what about me? What's going on? Why all the change? And during that time, her thyroid shuts down. So for someone that was having kind of a glandular experience where they were being challenged that way, can you suggest a couple of oils that would be good for them to kind of have with them during those times?
Sure. Right away, I think of myrrh. And myrrh helps to balance the thyroid function. And it's also a very spiritual oil that helps you deal with, the emotion that's creating the situation. And another oil that I think of is a blend that I use on the thyroid when, I use it on the throat chakra and also along around the thyroid, and that's Sacred Mountain. It has spruce and cedarwood and fir, so they're all those, think of the sacred mountains, and also Lang Lang in there, and that's another, just beautiful oil that supports the glandular function, and also helps you to attune and balance that chakra of your voice, your will.
And then another thing that happens too, I think, with people in this system is that the transformation of the mind is so rapid and so quick, because one moment you have this perception of cloudiness, confusion, fogginess you may be seeking. You are so hard on yourself within your own thoughts of what you have to achieve to connect or what you're doing with yourself, that your shift becomes so rapid that you're able to remain very still and deep. I always say to people, it's really a deep sense of self-appreciation enters the mind. And at times what I've watched happen to people is when they do get that deep sense of self-appreciation, where they have been living for so many years in self-judgment of what they should do, could do, what could be better, what isn't working, what is working, and they actually have a day of total self-appreciation, self-acceptance, self-love, where they haven't had these thoughts, that they can get a little bit emotional, where they're not crying out of sadness or anything that's negative. They're just like this flowing river of tears. And women often say to me, you know, what can I do not to be crying, or, you know, what are things I can do? And I often think, you know, could there be an oil that they could be applying that was that carer, that nurturer, where they, you know, it was like an embrace that was holding them up and celebrating what they transformed with them. So they felt kind of nurtured in the experience.
Yes, definitely. There are so many oils, and immediately what I think of, what I go to, is a blend called Joy. It's another Young Living blend, but it's hormone balancing, and it's very uplifting. And actually, many of the oils that are in Joy, like rose or the citrus, orange, tangerine, lemon. Those essential oils are very emotionally uplifting, spiritually uplifting, and balancing. So they really just honor that self-love, that joy that's always there, but that you finally, you know, see and get a hold of. And that's my favorite oil to use when I'm just, you know, want to keep that feeling of rejoicing in myself.
I think the thing that I'm so impressed about you, Kate, with is what I, you know, often people that breathe, I get a strong sense of them when I'm with them, and even when I'm not with them, I really feel what's happening with them. And I think that the thing that I love so much about your work is that you really work from the perception of looking for, not looking at the condition or the ailment, but looking at what's going to counteract that. So looking for the positive emotion or what is going to be lifted up and lift them up through a higher frequency by focusing on the higher frequency and bringing that to the surface rather than just applying ointment to the wound and not
That's
really
right.
going into the wound, but raising up what isn't the wound.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's very much about this work. And so I love that part that you've taken aromatherapy and kind of turned it into that way of being able to really perceive everything from that state of wisdom, so, and not from the state of suffering and how do we deal with the suffering, which I think is kind of the new way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, definitely.
But so one other thing that I kind of wanted to ask you about was that obviously we have a lot of parents that practicing this process, and a lot of parents that just listen to the show that don't do the process. And I think something that is really important to them is a way to be able to center and calm children. You know, I think there's a consensus everywhere that children today are very different, and, you know, people that are fairly conscious struggle to medicate their children that have a high spirit, or children that, you know, take their time and contemplate their actions and don't maybe move as fast as other people. But I wondered, is there an oil that doesn't treat a condition of a child being over-the-top energetic, or a child that's a little bit under the radar and doesn't move quite as quickly, and where you just bring that balance? Is there an oil that a parent could apply to a child before they went to school that would be that child's anchor to that state of peace?
Oh, definitely. There are, you know, so many different oils for different situations, like a child that needs grounding or a child that needs uplifting. But many of the oils that I use with young children are oils like lavender and Roman chamomile, or there's a beautiful blend called Gentle Baby, and that one has lavender, geranium, bergamot, rose, jasmine. These are all just really harmonizing, balancing oils. And you want to make sure that you're using a really high quality essential oil. And that's why I only use Young Living, because I really trust this, their standards. But these oils are really safe, and I use them with many children as well as my own children, and have found each child just knows immediately what they need, and they have their favorites, and that is just amazing to watch them just go to it when they know they need it. And, you know, every day it might be a different one, but there are usually just a specific one that, you know, a child will just gravitate to in a freedom that adults don't tend to have, because they think about it too much.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I everyone who has a child should have lavender for sure.
Oh, that's it. I think lavender is, I mean, from all of us growing up, I remember my grandmother used to stuff all of our pillows with lavender, and I thought she was just making it nice for us, but she must have been trying to knock us out, I think.
Yeah.
But,
well, both nice for the children and the parents, right?
Yeah, that's right. But I wanted to, you know, I wanted to encourage our listeners. I know there's many of you out there that are so devoted to practice and transformation, and really, I think, really what this is all about is about really getting over it and not getting into the process anymore. I think there's been years and years and years of spiritual evolution where we've been conditioned that you process, go into a process, you know, kind of taking yourself through all these twists and turns emotionally and mentally, and really who has the time for it? You know, I think the time now has come to dissolve what isn't love within the mind, to perceive love, to live in love, create from love, celebrate wisdom, develop medicine, develop education, develop all different systems and structures within the world that we're able to live in that support the presence of love, and really get rid of what isn't, and really just dissolve it and sweep it away. And I think any way that we can create progress within that process of just moving into the state of love, sitting there and watching the other move away, is only going to be beneficial to us. And that's why I had you on the show. Because creating a support structure, using the aromatherapy oil to be able to move into the wisdom aspect of the mind, is the greatest tool that it can actually provide us. So I want to thank you. I want to thank you so much, Kate, for coming on.
And, well, thank you, Jeannie.
Well, people that want to connect to Kate can contact customer support. Oh, no, it's actually support. I've given out the wrong email address. I always do things like that, so no one will be worried. It's support@breathinstitute.com. You can go to the highmindinstitute.com, click on the contact page, and you will get put through to customer support, and we will send you along to Kate. For all of the busy executives and talented individuals and people that are seeking and people that need support, that are at home, that are on our program, I encourage you to contact Kate. Get your own individual beautiful essential oil bottle made up and mailed out to you, so you have a beautiful support structure to our facilitator that has her thyroid. I know she's going to be on the phone to you in the morning. And I want to thank you so much for joining us, Kate. I wish you so much luck and blessings in what you're doing. And just thank you from the universe for your service.
Oh, well, I'm grateful as well. Thank you so much, Jeannie.
You're very welcome. Have a beautiful evening.
You too.
Thanks, Kate. So right now we're going to take a break to another song. This is a great song. It's called Unwritten Letter Number One. It's a terrific song. It's about a woman that is completely lost in her emotions, kind of what we're stepping out of this evening. So enjoy another song from Vienna Ting.
past your town. Destination, not you, my one. The driver doesn't know way down how deep these bright-eyed feelings run. I've no intention of confessing today. I need to make distance a while. But miles don't make your image fade. They don't erase this secret smile. Everything. Wet gray, gold-lit street. Sharpest place near lovers meet. I feel the grasp of your hand still. This face now.
Welcome back to the show. I would like to quickly do a shout out to some people that are great supporters of this show, and I would firstly like to say hi to all the beautiful women in Minneapolis that are at the Breath Our Breathing Studio for the Clear Mind System, and I know they meet there every week. They've built a little community of social gathering over the show, and I just want to say hi to you all. I'm envisioning you all there having fun dancing to that last track. And I also want to do a shout out to three very meaningful and beautiful listeners in New Hampshire, which is Grace, Margaret, and Roseanne. I would like to say hi to the three of you. I know you'll be sitting there having fun. So as we move on, we're going to have our guest that has been here before, Cyrilla Gallagher, who is such a talented and phenomenal astrologist, numerologist. She just is a joy to have on the show. You could have her on forever. She has so much to share with us. She's going to primarily talk to us this evening about the personality types of us and our signs, and what are the kind of, you know, what is the darker emotion of our sign versus what is the kind of wise aspect of the sign. So welcome to the show, Cyrilla.
Jeannie.
Hi.
Hi. Oh, sorry.
I thought you disappeared into the universe right there.
That's what it kind of sounded like. It sounded like it was dead on your end. Anyway, thank you for that great introduction. So tonight you want to talk about each of the signs briefly, the light and the shadow, or as I like to say,
yes, that would be great.
The part of the sign that hasn't been fully developed yet. And to quickly go around the zodiac, because I know we don't have a whole lot of time to look at each of the signs, but the nice thing about each of the signs, to sum them up, is that when we start at Aries, which is where the zodiac begins, because Aries is the beginning of the zodiac, because from an ancient's perspective, it's where the seeds were planted. So it's the beginning of where we all originate. It's the most, it's the strongest part of the zodiac. And so the key phrase for Aries is I am. And,
beautiful.
You know, Aries being the pioneer is very energetic and fearless and strong. So those are some of the light sides of Aries. The other side can be a little bit impatient and restless and forceful. So those are the things that we just, you know, there's balance between those. Sometimes it's great to be a little forceful, and sometimes, you know, the restlessness pushes us forward. So there's great things in even the shadow aspects. It's just
so if we, you know, if we made that shadow conscious, for instance,
mm-hmm.
so if we took mm-hmm. the forceful and made it conscious, it may become passion. It may
Absolutely.
Become purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And so I, you know, that's such a powerful thing, is that, you know, we do need to look at that shadow side to know how that wisdom is going to interpret itself once we've dissolved the interpretation of the shadow. So the fundamental principle of those qualities always stay with us, but once we dissolve the interpretation of the shadow, not necessarily the quality, but the interpretation, and it's now perceived through wisdom, we've still got these qualities, but now we're walking with from the presence of love, so we're manifesting through these ideas through love.
Absolutely, and that's the key with whether we're looking at the astrological signs or people's numerology. They each have a light and shadow interpretation. The whole thing is to just bring that light to the shadow and use it to benefit everybody's path, depending on which characteristic we're talking about. So do you want me to go around the zodiac a little bit and give you some of just the characteristics?
Let's go around the zodiac.
Okay. All right. So when we're talking about Taurus, the key phrase for Taurus is I have. And Taurus is ruled by Venus. So Taurus people are always passionate and affectionate and loyal. But sometimes they can also be stubborn and possessive and excessive. So again,
so if we want to, I just want to cut in there, Cirilla. So mm-hmm. if we wanted to take stubborn, for instance, that would, mm-hmm. that dissolved. And the quality of stubbornness, but dissolved, the interpretation dissolved from the unconscious mind, stubborn would become allowing.
Absolutely.
And it would become mm-hmm. inner conviction, of allowing the inner conviction to be present, because that's what we were kind of standing in our truth with.
Mm-hmm.
So dissolving the interpretation of stubborn then becomes that inner conviction. I just want to help people understand ways to, you know, look at these qualities and not be afraid and not kind of create that polarity we're so used to, that, you know, we have to run away from these qualities. We have to say, well, if wisdom identified with being stubborn, how would that feel to me? And then we can get to those key words.
Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty of the way you interpret a lot of this language. So I'll go around and I'll give you the light and the shadow, and maybe the helping us to reframe the shadow is what you can do through this exercise, because I think
okay.
it's beneficial to do that. So the key phrase for Gemini, which I am, that the thinking sign is I think. So Geminis are the multitaskers, they're versatile, they're adaptable, they're fluent, they're sociable. So those are some of the light sides. And on the flip side of that, sometimes because they're multitaskers, they can be a little careless sometimes, or sometimes that they can be nervous or rambling or forgetful. So those are some of the things
which
that,
are all the
yeah.
and those negative qualities of the shadow, mm-hmm. if that interpretation mm-hmm. is gone. Those
mm-hmm.
are the qualities of stillness.
Mm-hmm.
So, and transparency, not hanging on to, not having a sense of judgment to believe that you have a strong position, but being more in the moment and not retaining so much information and positions about what should be, but being more still and allowing what is within the moment, if we take that kind of unconscious perception out of it.
that's a beautiful interpretation, the one that I constantly strive to work with. So as a Gemini, I can totally relate to that.
You're all those qualities blended up together.
That's right. And Cancer is I feel, and it's ruled by the moon. So it's all about the emotions. Cancers feel things in their gut. So it's a very protective, receptive, domestic, maternal sign. But on the flip side of that, because it's the moon and the moon waxes and wanes, it can sometimes be a little moody or overly sensitive or defensive. So you could put your spin on that, because that's something that, you know, a lot of people, I mean, we all have all of these signs in our chart somewhere. So,
moodiness is passion. It's mm-hmm. about not being stuck in one way, not being stuck in one thought. And so mm-hmm. basically what I would say about a Cancer is that if they feel supported within their environment, they're going to be abundantly creative within who they are.
Absolutely.
Because they have that mood that moves through the mind that allows them to delve into different aspects and different thoughts. Mm-hmm. And they have the fluidity of being able to move in and out of the thought, which creates the creativity. So, you know, mm-hmm. take the kind of, the unconscious interpretation out of those qualities, and you would have a very creative person if they were in a supported environment.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And somebody who brings community together, because they want everything to feel like it's one big family.
Yeah, so they've got that supportive environment.
That's right. That's right. Okay, the next one is Leo, and the key phrase for Leo is I will. And Leos are passionate, and they are ambitious, and they're loyal, and they're gallant. They're the light side of Leo. But sometimes on the flip side of that, their passion can be a bit dictatorial or domineering, and there's a sense of pride, which again is not necessarily a challenging trait, but it depends on where the emphasis is within that characteristic.
No, because if you looked at that quality, that would mean that if we took out the unconscious perception of the Leo, they would be a very good leader, but also a follower of a system or a belief system. So mm-hmm. they could very much give themselves into something if they were able to, if they dissolved that unconscious thought, they'd be very allowing to dissolve into an environment or an experience or a passion, purpose, destiny, because they had the pride, they had the ability to stay on the path if that pride was coming from a space of universal pride and not personal.
That's right, because the energy behind Leo is very powerful. So they can accomplish great things. They have a whole lot more energy than some of the other signs do. And Virgo is I analyze. Again, it's ruled by Mercury, like the sign of Gemini, so it's an analytical, practical, it's an earth sign as opposed to Gemini that's an air sign, so there's this level of practicality. If you want anything done, give it to a Virgo or a Capricorn, because they're earth signs and they're going to get it done. Sometimes the flip side of that is they can be a little bit overly critical, and sometimes their perfectionist tendencies get in the way, but that's kind of the challenge that the Virgo goes through.
Well, see, the Virgo is the perfect, if I could describe a sign that practices the clear mind system the best, it would be the Virgo. Once mm-hmm. they get past the questions of how it works and
right.
the critical thought of figuring it out, they're actually incredibly powerful in the process, because we dissolve the unconscious through the analytical mind, because it's a system.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're very much able to embrace that system. So Virgos make great clear mind breathers. That's my interpretation of a Virgo.
Well, they would, because if you give them a system, they'll follow it regardless. So after they stop questioning it, they'll just do it. And the next one is Libra, and Libra is a sign that I love. It's I balance, and it's ruled by Venus. So it's about harmony and companionship and balance and affection and grace. Sometimes it can be a little bit emotional or excessive or a little disorderly, but that's kind of the shadow side of Libra, which you don't see a whole lot. I mean, Libra, because it's the scales, it's one of those signs that really can kind of walk through life in a very balanced way.
Well, but, you know, the lady that runs the studio, the breath studio in Minneapolis, is a Libra, and she is the kindest person I think I've ever met. So nurturing and kind and sweet and welcoming to everybody. And I agree with you about very rarely seeing those shadow sides to the mind, because she primarily, her focus is always on the perception of care. How do I care for this experience, person, thing, item, relationship, opportunity? And that's kind of how she's thinking. I think the shadow side for the Libra sometimes comes through their personal identification with themselves. So the thoughts that they have of how they're going to care for others is very different to the thoughts that they may be having of themselves. Once they kind of get rid of the negative self-talk, then all that care and kindness and ways they're able to harmonize the people around them becomes the experience that they have within.
Well, and that's right about what you said about the negative self-talk, because Libras have a tendency to be perfectionists. So once they could get past that, it really they really feel more peaceful. So you're right. Okay, Scorpio, I desire. Now, the thing about Scorpio, it rules the eighth house in the astrology wheel. Pluto is the sign that rules Scorpio, and it's all about going behind the scenes and digging things up. So it's resourcefulness. It's conscientious. It's passionate. It's intense. And the flip side of that can be sometimes secretive or jealousy or... There's a power, so there can be some violence isn't the right word, but if we're talking about anything that happens in the world that is that would be something that we'd all look at and say, oh dear, that seems like it's a fairly violent or nasty act, then that's the energy of Scorpio.
And the thing with the Scorpio is that I think Scorpios going forward, you know, over the next couple of years will be a sign that will pioneer the pathway to stillness, because left within their own stillness and not kind of in the pollution of unconscious thoughts and negativity, they're very susceptible to what is out there on the planet, and they will drink it up and become it very quickly, more so I think than a lot of other signs out there. And so what happens with them is they drink up all this kind of unconscious thoughts, and they are who shows us. They're the mirror to the aggression, or the mirror to the unrest, or the mirror to the violence. Because if we really look at these violent acts, we're really seeing what we're willing to tolerate within humanity. And so I think that going forward, once we've kind of shifted the unconscious and dissolved it, that poor Scorpio won't be getting the message from all of us that they carry these qualities, but they really just mirror what we are prepared to put up with.
Well, the other thing with Scorpio, it is all about transformation. That is what this sign is all about.
And they're
about
showing us that this is this is our time for transformation.
Absolutely. Okay. So Sagittarius, the key phrase is I see. It's ruled by Jupiter. Jupiter is where we expand. So it's a very optimistic, benevolent, truthful, compassionate, searching sign. It has a lot to do with our philosophies and things like that. So when it goes into its kind of hyper mode, it can be a little bit extravagant and wasteful and sometimes careless. Sagittarius is a similar sign to Libra or Taurus in that it's ruled by Jupiter, as the other two are ruled by Venus, and they're considered the greater benefics. So its effect isn't as strong as some of the other signs.
The thing with the Sagittarius, with those qualities of the shadow that you just mentioned now, they're qualities that come about if we aren't supported in a strong community. So if we're looking for companionship, we create it through these outer experiences because we don't feel that we belong to something. So if a Sagittarian builds a foundation of belonging within their environment, then those shadows will actually dissolve into a way of them being able to nurture the environment and lead within it. All right, Capricorn.
Absolutely.
That's me.
Absolutely.
Tell everybody how I am, really.
Okay, Capricorn's key phrase is I use. Now, what's important right now is we have Pluto in Capricorn, and so that's why we're seeing a lot of transformation going on within our structures around us. So the light side of Capricorn is dutiful and persistent and considerate and mathematical and conscientious, and calculating. The shadow side can be melancholy and a little cold and suspicious and fearful. So as we're going through all these changes right now, it's important to live in the light side of Capricorn, because we can see how media and things like that will bring up a lot of the shadow within the collective.
And I don't have any of those dark shadow qualities, so I can't comment. I'm joking. Yes, no, we are exactly like that. So the way that the best way for a Capricorn to perform is to create structure, create structure. We don't function in it well, but create structure that allows us not to feel vulnerable, and then we won't be melancholic. And if we're functioning in a structure, I think that's how we get rid of the shadow. Okay, next one.
Well, I was just going to make a comment about Capricorn. The thing about creating structures, they have to be fluid, because they're constantly
fluid in a structure. It's like me, I'm organized in my chaos.
That's
I know
right.
where everything is.
Okay, the next one is Aquarius, which the key phrase is I know, and this is the phase, we're moving out of the Piscean age into the Aquarian age, so it's about humanitarianism, originality, inventiveness, truthfulness, multidimensionalism, freedom, creativity, and the flip side of that is a little bit eccentric and erratic and radical. So those are the shadow sides of Aquarius.
So, you know, those shadow qualities turned around are actually leadership qualities.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they're able to structure themselves into an environment that allows them to be a leader, even if it's their own environment, then those qualities will become leadership qualities.
They're leadership qualities, and it's innovation, which is what we're moving into. We're leaving the old, which is a lot of it is if we think from a Capricorn perspective, and into the new, which is it's something we haven't been here before. So it's inventive and it's exciting, and we just need to focus on that as we're going through some of these changes. And the last one is Pisces, which we're moving out of this era of Pisces. The key phrase for Pisces is I believe. So it's inspiration, it's mysticism, it's music, it's artistic pursuits, and the flip side of that sometimes can be deceptive. It's where our victim lies, it's emotional, self-sacrificing, pessimistic. So that's the energy that we're really moving out of.
And that's a really profound sign, because if you look at that, that's really the conscious and the unconscious experience on the planet. Where
mm-hmm.
you've got this conscious awareness of mysticism, wisdom, stillness, love, and then you've got this unconscious perception of distrust, disharmony, you know, fighting union, questioning, which is really the universal kind of play right now. And it's funny you said we're coming out of that time, because we have come out of that time. We seem to have entered this accelerated journey for the next 18 months where it's time to get really clear within the mind.
Absolutely. And the Pisces sign, if anybody knows it, it's two fish swimming against each other. So it's the conscious and the unconscious mind, and they're kind of going in this opposite direction, and there's this line joining them. So it's almost like the bridge between the two. That's how I see Pisces.
Oh, it's just fun, Cirilla. I love having you on, Cirilla. We could make a two-hour show with you on here, and we had Kate on as well. But we have to fly, but thank you so much for coming and joining us again. We will
My
be
pleasure.
Definitely hearing from you very shortly, maybe even next week. But
okay.
Thank you for your wisdom and your talents. And anybody that wants to get in touch with Cirilla can again come to the Institute, and we will send you along.
Excellent. Thank you. Thanks, Jeannie. We'll talk soon.
Have a great week.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Before we go into our closing, I would like to just spend a couple of moments. I want to do some shout-outs to some local talented individuals and beautiful places that we want people to know about that support our entire conversation this evening. We've heard from Kate, a very talented and beautiful aromatherapist from Sag Harbor. You can get in contact with her through us, Cirilla Gallagher. We have another lady that I want to give a shout out to who has an incredible yoga studio here in Amagansett, New York City, Jolie Parcher. She is she actually founded Mandala Yoga Center in Amagansett. She's also a certified Ayurvedic counselor. And I want to make a just make a suggestion to all of our facilitators and many of our clients that when you are dealing with emotions, making transformation, clearing your mind, we do have the toxicity and pollutant that becomes a part of the body. Jolie is perfect to be able to help you clear that. If you want to get in contact with her, you can contact us through the Institute. We will hand you over to her. On Friday morning this week, she is having a fundraiser at her morning class at 9:45, also one at 12, one at 10:30. All the money that are raised at the classes is going to support a gentleman who's been flying to and from Haiti, and she's going to donate the money to Jonathan Nash Glynn, who's been making these journeys. So support that. That's a phenomenal project to support. The next thing I want to kind of talk about just for a brief minute is an incredible school that's located out here in Bridgehampton. I'm very passionate about this school, and I am passionate about it because of our audience, because of the people that support the Institute and are involved with us daily. As most of you know, we launched the Clear Mind New Planet Initiative this year, where we plan on taking the Clear Mind system to adolescents. We launch our adolescent program next week. And Hayground School, if you look them up online, it's haygroundschool.org. They're an incredible school that really harmonizes the self-expression within the mind. It's a profoundly intuitive and socially responsible education model that's really nurturing and developing beautiful minds of children. They encourage them through peace, reflection, inquiry, insight, wisdom, creativity, and the fundamental principles of community building and sharing. I really encourage all of our listeners that are involved in the education models in different towns, cities throughout the country, even throughout the world, to jump online and have a look at this school, because it's models like this that we really want to put out there ahead of our children to really help and nurture them so they're not clearing their minds like we have to. I want to thank you so much for joining me this evening on the show. It's been so much fun, a great show. I'm really starting to enjoy the experience. We're having a great time. I'm going to leave you with a lullaby for a stormy night from Vienna Teng. It's a Tuesday evening here in New York City. We're expecting a foot of snow. We will all be practicing stillness in the morning when we're trapped in our driveways, unable to move. So I'm going to leave you with this lullaby. I have a terrific week. Come to us for all the vital information, and looking forward to connecting next week. Have a beautiful week within a clear mind.
Child, be not afraid. The rain pounds harshly against the glass like an unwanted stranger. There is no danger. I'm here tonight. Little child, be not afraid. The thunder explodes and lightning flash illuminates your tear-stained face. I'm here tonight, and someday you'll know the nature of soul. The same rain that draws you near me falls on rivers and lands, on forests and sand, makes the beautiful world that you see in the morning. Little child, storm clouds mask your beloved moon and its candlelight beams, so keep pleasant dreams. I'm here tonight. Little child, be not afraid. The wind makes creatures of our trees, and the branches to hands they're not real understand. And I'm here tonight, and someday beautiful world that you see in the morning. child, and I was afraid. But a gentle someone always came to dry all my tears, to sweet sleep the fears, and to give a kiss goodnight.